Thank you. much for joining us. We welcome you to stand with us this morning and worship God. Those watching at home, you can worship Him right there in your living room, in your kitchen. It's nothing like being here, but He's there too. Amen. Come on. It's a new song. We encourage you to sing along with us. In the name of Jesus. Come on.
He's the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah.
God of Jacob, great I am. King of angels, Son of man. Voice of many waters, King of heaven's throne. Louder than the thunder, make your glory known. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar.
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 Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way, prepare the way of the Lord.
over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Come on, you guys, sing along with me. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Sing it out again.
'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Yes, it is. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Here we go.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
Come on.
In Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Oh, shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. In Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Your name is
power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Yes, it is. Here we go, shout.
Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Jesus from the mountain.
Come on and sing it out.
Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness over every.
Room today, God, that you would meet with us. God, we don't take it for granted. We We thank you. It is an honor, God, to meet with you. It is an honor, God. It is an honor, Lord, to be in your presence. We worship you this morning, Father.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the only one who could ever say,
I want everybody to give the Lord a big hand of praise right now. Come on, put your hands together. Give him a praise. Keep it going. Keep it going. Lord, we praise you. We magnify you. We give you glory. We give you honor. There's no one like you, Lord. You alone are worthy. You alone are mighty. You alone are great and greatly to be praised today. Just in a moment, you can change the atmosphere. Just in a moment. Just in a moment. But you got to worship God with enthusiasm. You got to worship God with all you got. You got to give him praise. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Come on, bless his holy name. He was stirring himself up. It means no matter what I'm facing, no matter what challenges coming against me, I will bless the Lord. I'll build my life upon his word. I know that he's a firm foundation. I know that I will not be shaken. I know that my God is more than able to take care of me and supply every need. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, give the Lord another praise. Give him praise. Put your hands together. Give him a shout today. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Lord, we do worship you. You alone are holy. There is no one like you. We will build our life upon your love and upon your word, Lord. And we know that when we build our life on your word, that when the storms of life come, that our house will not be shaken, for it is founded upon a rock, because your word, Lord, is settled in heaven and earth. You watch over your word to perform it, Lord. If you said it, surely you will do it, Lord. You're not a man that you should lie. We know that we can trust in your word, Father. We can put our confidence in your word. We can build our life upon your word. And so, Lord, we just worship you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would touch every life, that you would touch every heart, that you would touch every person here today. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for your power today. Thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I pray for every person that's here today, every person that is watching. And Lord, I just thank you for meeting every need in their life, Lord. In the name of Jesus, if you need healing in your body today, I want you to lay your hand on yourself, because I'm going to pray. And as I pray, the healing power of God is going to go into you right now in the name of Jesus. So if you need healing, just lay your hand on yourself today. If you're watching online, just lay your hand on yourself right now. Get ready to receive, because there is no distance with God. He's right there with you. He's right here with us. And the power of God is going to go into you today. So get ready. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you are the healer. I thank you that you took our sickness. I thank you that you took all of our diseases on that cross. And by your stripes, we have been healed. Lord, I release your healing power, the healing that you already purchased for us. I release your healing anointing to flow right now into every person's body. And I command sickness to go. I command every pain to go. I command every disease to go. I command a COVID to go. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your healing power that flows right now. In Jesus' name, healing from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And Lord, we give you alone all of the praise, and we give you all of the honor, and we give you all of the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen and amen. Turn to your neighbor, welcome them, tell them you're glad to see them today. Thank you.
You may be seated. Welcome, welcome to Ascend Church. How good to see you all today. How are you enjoying Florida summer? Keeping cool? Man, I'm hot all the time. Praise God for where we live. Amen. I love it. I love it. It's paradise. Well, welcome to church this morning. We're so glad to see you. Welcome to everybody watching online. Thank you for joining us for our online church. We pray that you get exactly what it is that you need from the Lord today. And I'm excited. I'm excited about the message. I love what Pastor Steve said. You know, it does take, sometimes it's just like David said, you stir yourself up. You choose to come into the house of God. You choose to come into His presence. Doesn't mean you always feel like it. Doesn't mean you always feel up. Maybe you feel down. But when you begin to worship God, you're reminded of who He is, that He's victorious. I mean, I love that. I build my life. I don't know about you, but I choose to build my life on the Word of God, on the foundation, that firm foundation. Amen. Praise God. Well, so glad you're here. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. I was trying to scan and see if I see any first-time visitors. Anyone visiting us for the first time today? Chris, you can never fool me. Never fool me. I know I've seen you before somewhere. But you see somebody, Moises? You welcome you. We're glad you're here. Come on, church. We're so glad you're in church with us today. Moises will hand you a visitor pack, and we ask, just take a moment and fill out the guest card, and when the offering bucket comes by at the end, drop it in, and stay and say hi to Pastor Steve and I after the service. We really would appreciate that. Amen. I'm actually going to show the little slideshow. Just show us that. We've been doing some things. Before you show it, we've been doing some things with I Love My City. We've chosen something to do every month, and Monique put together a few, just a little a recap of what we've done. So I just wanted to show you. Oh, the lighthouse is coming closer. I know that has music that goes with it. That was January, Heart for God Missions, clothing drive. Look at that. Well done to everybody who brought clothing in. We had bags and bags of it, didn't we? And that was February. That's Hannah's home. We donated a check to them. We went, and that's a local home in Tequesta for mothers and children. This was Quantum House. Look at Glory. Is that cute or what? These are children in extended care near St. Mary's Hospital, and a group went and played games. Then we went to, in April, we went to St. Joseph's, and we fed the homeless, and we cooked all the food and fed them. Look at these two handsome dudes that came with us and prepared all these meals. I think it was 150 or 200 meals that we prepared and served lunch for everyone. That was so exciting. And then this was May. We did the diaper drive. So thank you to everybody. This is for healthy mothers, healthy babies. We delivered those. And then we went back in June to Quantum House. And I was with them this day. Look at all. That's all Miguel and Natalie's chickens. The one little boy wanted all the chickens on him. But it was such a hit. We did a birthday party for two of the girls that have been, they spend months and years in extended care after surgery, and they were just thrilled. We had a birthday party, and we had the famous little Robles chickens and turkeys to entertain everybody and put a smile on the children's faces. And a special thank you to all the blessing angels, that's some of them, that work together to make some of these happen. So, isn't that exciting? You know, it's amazing. You think, what can we do in our community? And then you just begin by doing one thing and then another thing, and it leads to something else. And so we've got another 6 months ahead of us. But these first 6 months, we've made some progress, right? And that's our whole church family. You know, some have brought what we need. Some have given towards it. Others have served. And all together, we make a difference. Amen. I just want to remind you that we passed the clipboard by in the service. Please just check your name. Just change anything that needs to be changed on your phone or email.
It helps us keep in touch with you. We thank you for that. And one of the various ways that you can watch, people are watching on Facebook Live. Welcome. We're glad that you're watching today. Go ahead and share it. Reach, use as an outreach. You know, there was, we were just chatting with our friend yesterday that, you know, a few years back, the internet church online was not even a thing. But it is a thing today. And so use it today as an outreach to reach out to your family and what have you. And you can watch us on Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube and be a blessing to people by subscribing to that and just sharing it with other people. We appreciate you doing that. And Pastor Steve, you can come on up. I want to remind them of our, everybody of our four main purposes. The first one is that you would know God. Second one is that you would find freedom, that you would discover your purpose, and that you would make a difference with your life. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. We're a little quiet today. Did you have a late night or something? Good morning, everybody. I am. I want to introduce you to a dear friend of ours. This is Pastor Warren McGregor. We have known Pastor Warren for a very long time, many, many years. He's from South Africa. How long?
Since the 80s.
He's from South Africa, and we know him from Pastor Theo's church. Pastor Theo and Bev, that's our pastors. Pastor Theo and Bev Vomerantz, I should say. Some of you don't know who I'm talking about. But Warren used to be the youth pastor back in the, what was that, late 80s?
Mid-90s.
Well, in the 90s. Yeah. And, of course, he lives in Sarasota now, and they pastor a Christian Family Church, Sarasota, which unfortunately they had to close during COVID because they were meeting in a theater and the theater closed. But he's also a businessman and in real estate, and his wife has a school, a thriving school. How many students you got in that school? 120 students. And I wanted him to come today because I wanted him to just take a couple of minutes and share the mission work that they do. They take care of 2,000 children in Zambia. And so I just wanted you to share this morning. Welcome, Pastor Warren. Give him a big round of applause and just share what the Lord is doing there.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to be here. Please excuse me looking so casual. My son's playing baseball in West Palm Beach. Okay, we were up at 6 o'clock this morning. He was at the field at 7:30. And so just came straight here to be with Pastor Steve and Pastor Jill and with you all. Such a beautiful church, such a beautiful couple. Pastor Steve has ministered into my life for going on four decades now, since the late 80s when I was a teenager. And so thank you, Pastor Steve. And
I was like 2 years old then, huh?
I was, sure. That time machine works well, praise God. But we're blessed to be part of a global family of churches. And as Pastor Steve mentioned, we're very involved in Swaziland in Southern Africa and Zambia in Southern Africa. And we take care of 2,000 children across 12 orphanages and care points. We've drilled, and Pastor Steve and Jill played a part in this, we've drilled a dozen freshwater wells, taking care of entire communities. Not only do we look after the children, but the surrounding villages as well. And it makes such a difference. Our focus is on preschoolers because we've my heart's been missions for going on 20, 30 years. And I found trying to minister to all the age groups, the most effective age group we can change is our preschoolers. Mm. Because if we can get the poorest of the poor in Southern Africa that have absolutely nothing, their parents just leave them at home, go work in the big cities for a month and then come back, we take those preschoolers in, we help them get an education. By the time they go to grade one, they can read, they can write, they know their colors, they've had meals every day. So when they go into grade one for the first time, I've been here 20 years, I still say it the wrong way, they are on a level playing field with kids that have come from wealthy families or middle class families. And instead of a lot of these children that have never had any education or go into first grade, they don't even know how to sit down at a chair. they don't even know how to identify a color, and they get ostracized and picked on, and they'll just fall out of the system in first grade and go back to poverty and a life of crime. So we're finding if we can change our preschoolers, that when they go into first grade, they know God, they've accepted God, they can read, write, colors, they sit down, they can draw as well as anybody else, we're giving them a head start
Praise
in life.
God.
And your church plays a part of that with our global family. So thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for letting me be part of you.
Thank you,
today.
Warren. Bless your
God
heart.
Bless you.
Your heart. Let's pray over this. Come on. What is there a name of the...
Children's Challenge.
Children's Challenge. Lord, we just thank you for everything that Warren and Catherine are doing through Children's Challenge in Africa. And I just pray, Lord, that you would even open more doors and that you would bless this ministry, and that, Father, that you would cause people to want to give and fund and support this ministry. And we just pray for every child that is touched through this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in these children's lives. And we give you the praise, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, Warren. Wonderful, man. Well, are you ready for God's Word today? Throw that book. Warren, hand me that book, please. I want to just mention to you, our very own Bronson over there, he just published his first book. He's a first-time author. Stand up for us, Bronson. And the book is called, it's called The 252 Plan, and it's based upon Luke 252, where Jesus increased in favor and wisdom. And so I said to Bronson, he's got to bring a whole bunch more of these next week, because I'm sure you want to get one, and we want to get this book, and we want to support him. So next week, bring some more of these books, and we're going to have them available out there in the lobby, right? Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, tell your neighbor, I'm glad that you're in church today. Tell them I'm glad I'm sitting next to you today. Tell them you look good. You ready? You ready for God's Word? Well, today we're continuing with our series called Beyond Blessed. And this is part number 3. Say, Beyond Blessed. And what I mean by Beyond Blessed is where you are so blessed, God so blesses you, that you can be a blessing to others. You can bless other people. Scripture says in Genesis 12, God said to Abram, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others. And then in Galatians 3:29, it says that now that you belong to Christ, you the true children of Abraham, you are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So when God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing, that promise is for us too. Say, God wants to bless me so that I can be a blessing. See, to live a beyond blessed life, it means where you so blessed yourself and you're a blessing to others. And if you are going to live that kind of life, we said there's two keys to living this beyond blessed life. And that is, number one, to be a good steward. To be a good steward of what God entrusts to you. And secondly, is to be generous. Now, as I thought I was going to finish this up today, but this week as I was praying, the Lord said to me, you forgot one other thing. And I said, what is it? And he told me, and so next week, I'm going to finish part number 4. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. There's one other key to living a beyond blessed life, and I'll keep that for next Sunday. But when I talk about being a good steward, you know, we realize that God owns everything, and really, we don't own anything. Everything belongs to the Lord, but we are stewards of what God has entrusted to us, and when you're a good steward of what God has entrusted to you, God will increase and give you more, because he's looking for people that will fulfill his purpose in the earth. And I know some people who don't make much money, and they struggle with stewardship. And then I know other people who make a lot of money, and they're still not good stewards, because we're not talking about how much you make. We're talking about how you think about stewardship, how you think about ownership. That's what we're talking about today. And Today I want to speak about the 10 financial commandments. And I'm going to line them up with the 10 commandments that God gave Moses in Exodus chapter 20. Now remember that the 10 commandments are not something that we observe in order to try and be saved, in order to try and get to heaven, be a Christian. No, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. But there is a principle behind every commandment, and that principle will bring life and it'll bring blessing to you. So I'm going to move pretty quickly because there's 10 of them. So I'll take about 10 minutes on each one, so it'll be about 90 minutes. No, I'm joking. I've got to get going now. So number one, the first principle is based upon Exodus 20 verse 30, and it says, you shall have no other gods before me. So the first principle is put God first. Say, put God first. Put God first. That's the first principle. In fact, if you read the Living Bible translation of Exodus 23, it says, do not worship any god except me. God wants to be first in your life. That's the first commandment. And we've talked about tithing, that the first 10% of everything that we earn belongs to God. And that goes along with that first commandment of you shall have no gods before me. And I love Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. It makes it so clear in the Living Bible. It says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. Do you know that tithing is a very important way that we demonstrate that God is first in our life? Because if God is first in your life, you will bring your first fruits, your tithe, to the Lord. So if you don't tithe, then really God is not really first in your life. Money is first in your life. Can you handle that? Because that's the truth. When you understand the principle of first, you'll start noticing it all over the Bible. When you read through the Bible, it'll start popping out at you. There's an amazing story that illustrates this in 1 Kings 17, where the prophet Elijah, he had declared that there would be no rain in the land because of the wickedness of King Ahab. So there was no rain, there was a famine for 3.5 years. So God sends Elijah to a widow who is going to provide for him. In 1 Kings 17:10, it says, so he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there. And she was gathering sticks. And he called to her and he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to go get it, he called to her and he said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Bring me a piece of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. I only have a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And I'm going to gather a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. This is the last meal that she's got. And watch what Elijah says to a widow that only has one meal left. He says in verse 13, Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you've said, but make me a small cake from it first. Say first. You start seeing this all through the Bible. He said, first, make me a small cake, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, and the jar of oil will not run dry until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. Now, many people today would probably be shocked for a man of God asking a widow for her last meal. But as she put God first, God supernaturally multiplied the flour and the oil until the famine ended 3.5 years later. God multiplied that oil and he multiplied that flour. It was miraculous provision when she put God first. Have you ever wondered why God didn't send this widow to a rich person? Excuse me, why did God not send Elijah to a rich person? Because here's what many of us think. We think that God sent Elijah to this widow so that she could provide for Elijah. But God actually sent Elijah to the widow so that God could provide for the widow. Are you with me? People think God wants us to tithe so the church can be taken care of. No, God wants you to tithe so that you can be taken care of. Here's a widow that had one meal left. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but her son had a terminal disease. And a few months later, he dies. And Elijah goes to her house and raises her son from the dead. You see, it wasn't just that God wanted to provide for this widow financially. God knew her son was going to die. See, when you live a blessed life, it's not just about your money. It's about every part of your life. When you put God first, there are blessings that come upon your family, not just financially, but in every area of their life. Amen? Number two, second financial commandment. Don't worship material things. In Exodus 20, verse 4, it says, "You shall not make yourselves any idols, no images of animals, birds, or fish, no carved images, no idols." Now, an idol is anything that you put before God that can be an idol. In 1 Corinthians 10:14, it says, "Keep away from any sort of idolatry," and that includes loving or venerating anything more than God. When you love anything more than you love God, that becomes an idol in your life. Romans 2:22, are you ready for this? It says, "You say, don't pray to idols, and then you make money your God instead." The Amplified Bible says it like this: "You who abhor and loathe idols, do you rob temples? Do you appropriate to your own use what is consecrated to God, thus robbing the sanctuary and doing sacrilege?" In other words, that's saying, you say it's wrong to worship idols, but are you robbing by withholding what belongs to God? You're making money an idol. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Matthew 6:24, look what Jesus said. He said, "You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both." God said, "I don't want you to have any other gods before me, and I don't want you to make any idols." Here's the question. Have you put anyone or anything before God in your life? Have you put a material thing before God? I know some people who skip on their tithe so they could buy something. That thing now is an idol to you. Not tithing is idol worship because you're putting money before God. Have you ever bought something you regretted? I have. You might even be tithing. But we're talking about being a good steward, which means you pray about everything. Everything you purchase, you pray. You don't just spend money without asking the owner if you can spend it. Because if not, you could be putting things before God. Amen? I remember in 1982, I came to South Africa. That was before we were married. We got married in October 82. I came to the United States with my family, and we spent a month here. And that was a time that the Rocky III movie had just come out. Anyone seen Rocky III? The Rocky movies? Ba-bum, bum, ba-ba-bum, bum. When I work out now, I put on the Rocky soundtrack. They think I'm hilarious. I use the same soundtrack, Same soundtrack. Every time I work out, I put on the Rocky soundtrack. So anyway, that movie was out. It was big. It was popular. And in one of the opening scenes of the movie, Sylvester Stallone, Rocky, he wears this beautiful camel hair long overcoat, double-breasted, this beautiful overcoat. And I like that coat. And I said, but I'm in America. I'm going to find a coat like that. And I'm going to buy one. And I did at the Burlington Coat Factory. I found this camel long overcoat. And I was so happy to get this coat. And I get back to South Africa, and the Lord says to me, I want you to give that coat to your cousin, Tony. I mean, I heard it on the inside. What? I searched the store. I searched America for this coat. And the Lord said, I want you to give it to your cousin. God was testing me. Did I worship him or did I worship things? Can I tell you, I gave that coat away and the Lord has blessed me with clothes ever since. Number three. Don't use God's name selfishly. In Exodus 20, verse 7, it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, I believe, of course, this means that we should not use God's name as a curse word. And I'm amazed I hear Christians, oh my God, Jesus Christ. It kind of jars me when I hear that. But I want to, if you think about the original language, it says, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What do you think about when you think about a vain person? A prideful person. A selfish person. A person whose focus is on themselves. Don't use God's name selfishly. You know, if we have neighbors who are lost, they're on their way to hell, and we're just praying for new outdoor furniture or a bigger house. Not because we need it, because we want to impress our friends, because they've got a bigger house. We must not want to be blessed just for selfish reasons, but we should want to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. Vain can also mean empty, nothing, worthless, no good purpose. And it also means to unlawfully touch the holy things. In Malachi's day, the priests were devaluing the name of God because they were bringing polluted offerings to the Lord. In Malachi chapter 1, look at this in verse 6, it says, the Lord of heaven's armies says to the priests, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. And if I am your father and your master, where is the honor and the respect that I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt for my name by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. And then you ask, how can we have defiled these sacrifices? You defile them by saying that the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's army. So go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you, but when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Asks the Lord of heaven's armies. So verse 10, I wish you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I will not accept your offerings, but my name is honored by people of other nations from morning until night. All around the world, they offer sweet incense and pure offerings in honor of my name, for my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Now, in verse 12, it says, you dishonor my name with your actions by bringing contemptible food. You are saying it's all right to defile the Lord's temple. You say it's too hard to serve the Lord, and you turn up your noses at my commands. Think of it. Animals are stolen and crippled and sick and being presented as offerings. Should I accept such offerings as these, says the Lord? Now, they were offering defective animals instead of their best. And the Bible says it was dishonoring to the Lord because God wants our best. God wants our first. In Proverbs 3 verse 9, it says, glorify God with your wealth, honoring him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings. Can you say amen? So, you know, the Bible says that they were dishonoring God because they were bringing defective animals. God wants to be first, and he wants us to bring him our best. Number four, be a good steward. The fourth financial commandment, be a good steward. And in Exodus 20, verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Now, how does that relate to being a good steward? Because God is telling us to be a good steward of our time and our energy. And you will get more done and you will be more blessed if you will work 6 days a week and rest 1 day a week and honor God by going to church on Sunday. The early church met on Sundays, the first day of the week. In Acts 20, verse 7, it says, on Sunday, we gathered to take communion and to hear Paul preach. Because he was planning to leave the next day, he continued speaking until past midnight. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, look what it says. Now concerning the collection I want you to take for God's holy believers in Jerusalem who are in need, every Sunday, each of you make a generous offering by taking a portion of what God has blessed you with and place it in safekeeping, then I won't have to make a special appeal when I come. Notice he said every Sunday. And I found this very interesting because some scriptures say the first day of the week, some translations say every Sunday, and the Living Bible says on every Lord's Day. In other words, Sunday was considered the Lord's Day. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. You are here, so you should be enthusiastic that you are in God's house on the Lord's Day. See, some Christians today, I've met some Christians who believe that we should have church on Saturday because that's the Sabbath. But Sunday is the church, is the day that the early church met. Do you know that Jesus was raised from the dead on a Sunday? Do you know that Jesus appeared to the disciples 6 times and it was always on a Sunday? Do you know that the early church met on a Sunday? God doesn't want us to miss church on Sunday. That, I believe, should be the Lord's Day. Can work 6 days a week, but the seventh day, keep that unto God. And when you do that, you'll see God's blessing upon you. You'll get more done in 6 days than you could by working 7 days a week. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his drawing back is coming near. The Bible says Jesus' return is getting nearer and nearer, and especially now we should not neglect our church meetings. God will bless you when you put him first by going to church every Sunday instead of working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do you know that the average fast food restaurant in the United States, the average fast food franchise makes $1 million a year? And they're all open 7 days a week. And some of them are open 24 hours a day, except for one. Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A closes on Sunday. And they're not open 24 hours a day. Do you know that the average Chick-fil-A makes $5 million a year? You know why? Because they make 5 times as much because they work 6 days and they rest 1 day and they honor God. Chick-fil-A's are closed on Sunday. I'm sure that all of the experts advised them that was a terrible idea. You're going to lose a lot of money if you close on Sunday. But they make 5 times more than the average fast food restaurant, Chick-fil-A. Let me tell you, when I get fast food, most of the time it's Chick-fil-A. Resting 1 day is believing that God can do more in 6 days than you can do in seven. And tithing is believing that God can do more with the 90% than I can do with the 100%. It's simply good stewardship. That's really what it is. It's good stewardship. All good stewards do three things. Number one, they spend wisely. Number two, they save diligently. And number three, they give generously. If you're not doing those three things, you're not being a good steward with what God has given to you. Can you say amen? Number five, the fifth financial commandment, teach your children. Teach your children about money, possessions, about God, about the kingdom of God. This lines in with the fifth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament, it repeats this. It says, children, if you want to be wise, listen to your parents and do what they tell you, and the Lord will help you. For the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise attached. You will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. And all the parents said, oh, don't be afraid now. When we honor God and we take care of our parents, the Bible says we will prosper. Why do you think God wants children to honor their father and their mother? The reason is because they learn about God from their parents. They learn the precepts of God from their parents. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, it says, you must teach them to your children and talk about them when you're at home or when you are out or for a walk or at bedtime or the first thing in the morning. It says, teach your children these things in the morning, in the evening, when you're at home, when you're out walking. Teach these things to your children. Let me tell you, your children are learning about God and money from you. The way you talk about it, the way you handle money, you will teach your children how to handle their money. If you're always buying stuff on credit, you know, whether you tithe, whether you give to your church, the way you talk about it at home, if you say things like, well, you know, we just need more money. Our problems would all be solved if we just could have, if we just had some more money. You're actually, by saying that, you are teaching your children to serve money instead of serving God. Thank you, Richard. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said this, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Amen. You can't serve God and be enslaved to money. And your children are learning from you how you talk about God, how you talk about money. You might actually be teaching your children to despise God by the way you talk about money. Because if you place value on material things, but you place no value on giving to God, you are passing those values on to your children. If you devote it to money, you'll despise God. You can't serve God and money at the same time. We taught our children about tithing from the time they were little, from the time they got their first allowance. We taught them to tithe on their allowance. They would go to church. If they got $10, they'd bring their $1 to church for the offering. Do you know that all of our children tithe today? And not only that, they've taught their children. Our grandchildren are now being taught about how to tithe and how to serve God. And do you know that all of our children are financially blessed? Our children are not calling us up asking us for money. Thank God. They are all self-sufficient. They're all doing great. And I really believe it's because from when they were little, they honored God and they tithed with all of their income. Number six, the sixth financial commandment, live on a budget. Now, this goes along with the sixth commandment. In Exodus 20, verse 30, it says, you shall not murder. If you're not living on a budget, you're killing yourself. And sometimes when you live on a budget, you want to kill yourself. I had to try and make this one work a little bit, so bear with me. Because let me tell you, when we plan to fail, we fail to plan. If we fail to plan, we plan to fail. If you don't have a goal, you're never going to reach it. And so many people don't have a plan, and that's all a budget is. It's a plan. It's a goal. That's what it is. A budget helps you make financial decisions without emotion because it makes the decision for you. It's wonderful because your wife can ask you for something, and you can say, honey, I would love to give that to you, but Mr. Budget says no. Mr. Budget says no. It's not in our budget. A budget is like a map. If you lost financially, it's because you're not using a map. Don't be embarrassed to ask somebody to help you. Proverbs 21 verse 20 says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. I would really encourage you to make a budget. See what your monthly income, your monthly expenses are every month. And then you can start trusting God to pay off some of those things and eliminate some of those debts you have so that you have more funds to be able to be a blessing when God tells you to. Are you with me? Number seven, the seventh financial commandment, live below your means. In Exodus 20 verse 14, the seventh commandment says you shall not commit adultery. Now you may wonder, how does living below your means have anything to do with adultery? Because a person who commits adultery is living beyond the means that God has provided for them. The same way, when you live beyond your means financially, there's two reasons why people live beyond their means financially. Number one, because they're not content with what they have. People commit adultery because they're not content with what they have. And when you buy things you cannot afford, you really, it's like you're shaking your fist in the hand of God, in the face of God, and you saying, God, I'm not content with you. I'm not content with your provision for me. So I'm going to find another way to go beyond your provision for me. It's not being content. Now, I know that's a bit strong, but sometimes we need to hear something strong to realize what we're doing and why we're doing it. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul, he said, I have learned, say learned, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to abound, I know how to be abased. I've learned to be content whatever state I'm in. Now, the word abased means to lack, and abound means to have abundance. So the greatest apostle who ever lived, who wrote like half of the New Testament, he said, I have learned to be content. That means I may not be content right now, but I can learn to be content. Whether I'm really tight or whether I have everything I need, because my contentment doesn't rest on my finances. My contentment is based in God. My contentment comes from God. No matter what situation I'm in, I'm still content. The second reason why a lot of people live beyond their means is because they don't count. In Luke 14, verse 28, Jesus said, which of you intending to build a tower doesn't first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Now, I'm going to use what some people consider a bad word now. Some people consider this like a curse word. And the word is math. Math. How many of you said about math when you were at school, I'm not going to need this when I grow up? Here's why people live beyond their means. It's not that they're rebellious, it's just they can't count. I've sat down with people and I've said to them, okay, let's look at your income and let's look at your expenses. I'm trying to help them So how much do you bring home? Okay, I bring home $4,000. Okay, how much are your expenses? Let's add them up. Your house payment, your car payment, your insurance, your gas, your groceries, vacations, clothing, school fees, everything. Let's add it up. And they'll be, okay, $1,200, $800, $400, $600, $500, $700, $300, $400, $800, $600, $900. I'm like, you realize you passed 4,000 a long time ago, right? But see, they didn't realize it. Because you're going to have to either learn math or make friends with someone who knows math. Because you have to live below your means. Because when your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep is going to be your downfall. Sometimes we're not living below our means because we're not teaching our heart to be content. And consequently, we're also not teaching our children to be content. And this is often why people go out and buy things they can't afford, buy things on credit. You see, we can't live below our means unless we're living on a budget. We know what's going in, we know what's coming in, and we know what's going out. Number eight. Are you getting something out of this today? Number eight, don't buy now and pay later. Exodus 20:15 says, you shall not steal. You might think, well, who am I stealing from if I pay it off? You're stealing from yourself because you don't have the funds that to do what you'd like to do or what God tells you to do because your funds are already committed. Some people have 80% of their income already committed. Committed to a house payment, committed to a car payment, committed to a boat payment, committed to charge accounts, credit cards. They have no free money at all because all their money is already committed. Let me tell you why that's bad. Because behind every commandment, there's a principle. And there's a principle about debt in the Bible. God wired you and me to have hope, to live with hope. In Romans 8:24, it says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what one sees? And the Living Bible says, we're saved by trusting, and trusting means looking forward to getting something that we don't yet have. For a man who already has it doesn't need to hope and trust that he will get it. Now, let's say you're hoping to get some new furniture and you just go out and you put it on a credit card. Now you don't hope for it anymore. Why would you hope for something that you can already see? You can see it sitting in your lounge. You don't need to have any hope for it. But every time that if you don't go out and buy that on credit, every time that you look in your lounge and it's not there, that new furniture, you're hoping for it. You trust in God to provide that for you. And you're planning and you're preparing and you're saving for it. And hope is building up in your life. This is what is called delayed gratification. And God wired you to look forward to things, to want something, to work for it, and to believe God and to wait for Him to provide it for you. Then once you get it, the joy you have is overwhelming because you had to wait for it and you had to work for it. But if you just go out and buy it and you don't have the money, now you've got payments, then now you don't have joy. Every time you see that thing you bought, man, now you've got stress over it because you've got 24 or 36 months or whatever it is to pay it off. God doesn't mind that you got a new TV. He just doesn't want you to experience stress and grief for months and months over that new purchase. He wants you to have joy over that purchase. It's called delayed gratification. Do you know one of the signs of clinical depression is a lack of hope? Do you realize that America, the United States of America, is the most in-debt society in the world? And it's also the most depressed society in the world. Do you know that 75% of the world's prescription drugs are consumed by Americans? 75%. And the only reason God said these things is He wants us to be happy and He wants us to have joy. So don't buy it now and pay later. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:7, if you borrow money with interest, you'll end up serving the interest of your creditors, for the rich rule over the poor. I believe it's God's will that we be debt free. God wants us to be the lender and not the borrower. Amen. And I'm not saying it's a sin or anything to borrow money, no. I'm just saying that very often we borrow money for things that we really don't have to have instead of waiting and trusting God to bring it to us debt-free. I tell you, and I've been there, I'm not standing here and telling you, hey, you know, I've never made a mistake. I have broken just about every one of these things I'm telling you. I have made mistakes. I have blown it. But I've learned from my mistakes. And I'm telling you, there was a time that I wouldn't think twice. I'd go and buy clothes on a charge card. I don't buy any clothes on a charge card. If I can't pay for it cash, then I can wait for it. Make a decision. You're going to get out of debt. You might have to make some sacrifices. You might have to stop buying things that are not absolutely necessary until you're out of debt. But let me tell you, when you make that decision, you're going to be a good steward. You will see God supernaturally bless you when you decide to do it His way. Number 9, be a good witness. In Exodus 20, verse 16, it says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, this means not to lie, but could you be bearing false witness financially, which is misrepresenting God to people? In other words, you're talking to your neighbor about the Lord, and he's looking over your shoulder at your new car, but your yard looks horrible. The shutters are all unpainted. It's the worst house on the block. I wonder if the way we handle our finances is a bad witness about the Lord. I think we ought to be helping people, amen, to understand that when you get your life lined up with the Lord, He's going to help your finances too. He wants us to be a true witness of Himself to our neighbors. And finally, the 10th financial commandment is number 10, be content. We talked a little bit about contentment, but in Exodus 20:17, it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or your neighbor's house, excuse me, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything of your neighbor's. God says you shall not covet. Now, the word covet means to have an inordinate desire for that which belongs to another. If you're coveting what someone else has, you're not content with what you have. If you're content with what you have, you don't covet what someone else has. You're content with what God has provided for you. Can you say amen? And Colossians 3 verse 5 says this, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The Bible says covetousness is idolatry. And the New Living Translation says, don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. The reason why it's idolatry is because whatever you're coveting, you've made an idol out of that thing. If you covet what your neighbor has, if your neighbor gets a new car, you covet his new car. Not only do you make an idol out of it, but now you make your neighbor God. You want to know why? Because now you don't buy a new car because the Lord leads you to, or because God tells you to. You buy a new car because your neighbor bought a new car. Your neighbor gets a new house. Now you want to get a new house. Your neighbor buys a Rolex watch. Now you want to get a Rolex watch, but you got to get it on a credit card. So now your neighbor is God, because you see what you do what your God tells you to do with your finances. Instead of doing what God tells you to do, you do what your neighbor tells you to do. So your neighbor becomes God in your life. In fact, your neighbor doesn't even have to tell you what to do. He just has to show you. And your neighbor may be somebody on Instagram. So many people are controlled by social media and what they think are status symbols, and they see this on social media, so they wanna do that, and they buy things that they can't afford and do things that they really shouldn't do. When you covet what someone else has, what you're coveting becomes an idol, and the person who has it becomes God in your life. Let me tell you, I encourage you, don't let someone else spend your money. Let God tell you how to spend his money that you are the steward of. And he will pour out such blessings on you beyond what you ever imagined. Let me tell you, living beyond blessed is living so that you can be a blessing, so that you can help God's kingdom. So, because God blesses good stewards, and God blesses generous givers. Can you say amen? In Galatians 6:10, I'll close with this scripture. It says, take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. My prayer for you is that you will be a good steward of what God gives you so that you can give generously when God prompts you to do so. Amen. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you if you're watching this online, everyone that's in the room. I want to pray right now. Father, I pray for everyone here, everyone watching. I pray that you would take these principles and you would secure them deep in our heart, Lord. I pray for people watching who are under financial stress in their life today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, they may have lived that way for years. I pray that the truths of these messages will bring that financial stress and bondage and remove it from your life. I pray that every person watching will be able to be a good steward of the funds you've given them, that they will be generous givers. I pray, Lord, you will open the windows of heaven and you will pour blessing upon them, that you will supernaturally, Lord, bring them out of debt, that you will open doors of opportunity, that your favor will be surrounding them, Father. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that everything they put their hand to, it shall prosper. I thank you, Father, that blessings are chasing after them. Blessings are overtaking them, Father, as they obey you and as they honor you. I thank you, Lord, for blessings that are flooding into their life in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for bringing financial freedom into every person's life in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen, somebody. Come on, say amen, somebody. Well, I hope that you benefited from that today. Not only did you get a brush up on the Ten Commandments, but you learned the Ten Financial Commandments. And I really believe that if you live your life by these truths, you will see amazing things happen in your life. I mean, I can just tell you so much. We just saw our daughter-in-law Francesca married to our son Luke. I mean, Luke's in ministry. He was at VU Church. He's on full-time staff. This week they have their big conference coming up in Miami. They're expecting thousands of people down in Miami at VU. And his wife is a realtor. She has three children. They have three children. She's a full-time mom. Do you know, what did she win? The top, is it 12% or 12? She's in the top 12% of realtors in the nation. In the top 12%, she sold millions of dollars of. I really believe that's the blessing of God on their life. As they put God first and they honor the Lord, that's God's blessing in their life. Amen. I mean, our daughter Nadine, she's a single mom. She owns her own home. She makes a great income. Our older daughter, Robin and Brian, I mean, they just were able to put both their kids in Christian schools. I can just tell you, it's amazing how God just blesses them supernaturally when you live by these principles and you put God first, man. You can't outgive God. You can, when you give, more's going to come back to you. It's a supernatural principle that works in your life. Isn't that right? Well, we are going to honor the Lord today. We got a chance to put this into practice today. We so appreciate all of our faithful tithers in this church, all of our faithful givers in this church. I want you to know we appreciate you. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to do what we do every week if it wasn't for you. And so now is where we have opportunity to honor God, show God He's first in our life. We're going to bring our tithes. We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord in the name of Jesus. You know, there's different ways you can give. If you're watching online, man, you can give at our website, ascendchurch.us. There's a way to give. You can give by text giving. We have a lot of people give by Cash App now, PayPal. There's envelopes in the seat back in front of you. You can give with a check, with a card, with cash, huh? Someone gave, bless his heart, Timothy, little Timothy. How old is Timothy now? Is he 9 or? He's 9, right? Timothy comes up to me before the service. He's always here early, man. When I walk in, he's at the door. And he comes up to me and he gives me this envelope. He says, Pastor Steve, would you put my tithe into the offering today? I said to him, well, you're going to children's church, right? He said, yes. I said, well, you know you can give it at children's church. He said, I know, but I want to give it in church today. And I'm going to be in children. Would you give it for me? I'm going to bless his heart, 9 years old. Let me tell you right now, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he grows old, he'll not depart from it. Can you say amen? You know, you can't teach your children to do what you're not doing. And that's one of the biggest problems about people who don't tithe and give. You pass it on to your kids. And they pass it on to their kids. So are you ready to give today? All the givers said amen. Amen. All the cheerful. How many believe in giving today? How many believe in tithing? Let me wave your hand at me. You believe in tithing. All the tithers, wave your hand at me today. Father, I thank you for every person, every giver, every tither. Lord, I thank you. Your word declares that you will open the windows of heaven above us. You will pour blessing that we cannot contain. And you will rebuke the devourer on our behalf. Thank you for divine protection. I want to thank you right now, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open above this church, above every member, every giver, every tither. I thank you for pouring blessing upon them. I thank you, Father, for bringing them out of debt supernaturally. I thank you, Lord, for guiding them, for opening doors of opportunity, for bringing the right people across their path, for giving them witty, godly ideas and direction and wisdom, giving them wisdom, Father. I thank you for financial wisdom. I thank you for financial breakthroughs. I thank you, Father, right now for that you are moving in our life financially, and we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask, as we receive the offering today, I'm going to need your help. Thank you. Who's helping us? Moises, Tom. I'm going to ask Michelle to come up. Let us know what's happening this afternoon and this week. Thank you, Michelle. This is Michelle Boss. I like that last name, Boss. When you get married, you should hold on to that name, I think.
I hear that all the time, actually. All the time. My students are like, when are you going to be reading and changing? I'm like, I don't know. You're not going to know that part of my life. Just kidding. All right, so I am honored to be one of the youth leaders here at Ascent Church. And tonight,
yes,
it's a great group of kids. Tonight is our next meeting, and I'm teaching. So any teens in the room, we're switching it up a little bit. And we have a guest worship leader coming also, who's one of my best friends.
He's great.
And Abel's out of town. So if you guys want to see him, you have to wait another week or so. But we can't wait to see you guys tonight. It's going to be super fun. The game I have planned is going to make you laugh super, super hard. So if you need laughter right now, teens, come show up. It's going to be a great night.
And that's at 5.
It starts at 5. Back room, we leave the back door open. You come enter in and hang out. And then we kick the night off at 5:30.
Awesome. And this Thursday night, we have...
This Thursday night is prayer. So I'm actually excited because I can talk about my favorite things today. Prayer is probably the thing that I love the most about relationship with our Father. And when we come together on these Thursday nights, it's all about Him. We get to just let things go that we're walking into the room with worry and concern. And we get to hear His voice so clearly. We've seen incredible breakthrough. We've heard words from the Lord about healing. We've seen it happen in the space. We've also gotten words about like what He's doing in the region. We get to partner with it. And this is such a privilege we have as sons and daughters. And if you're like, I don't really know what that's about, you can come and sit in that atmosphere for 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, your heart is going to just be like awakened in prayer. It's a really Absolutely. Great experience. So...
You know, I'm so thankful. Aren't you thankful that we have two youth leaders, Abel and Michelle, that come and pray? Every time we have prayer, they're there. Every time we have prayer, you guys are there. You've been so faithful. In fact, it was you and Abel that suggested starting this prayer meeting. You've been there like from day one, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Oh, isn't that a great thing? To have two young people like this leading our young people that come and pray on fire for the Lord. Let me tell you, they're in good hands. I know that. Father, we thank you for Michelle and Abel. Thank you for your hand that is upon her. Thank you that you are using her, Lord, to speak into the lives of young people, to minister to young people, not just her students at school, Father, but here on Sunday to ascend youth. We thank you and praise you for your hand that is upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Mention that, yes.
And the last thing I get to talk about is how many of you guys know that we are not under the leadership of a person who wants to teach what our itching ears want to hear, as we see in 2 Timothy 4, where we're warned about, right? Pastor Steve and Pastor Jill, they dedicate their lives to bringing us truth, to biblical principles that are deeper than maybe we can handle sometimes. But what's really great is we have a practical prayer card for your pastors. They're at the door on the way out on that little table. And there's 14 prayers here. But something I've learned about when you commit to praying for your leaders is you can start with very, very good scripture, but then your heart is given over to compassion for praying for these ones who lead you. And that's where the Lord goes like, hey, can I tell you how I'm about to bless your leaders? Or he'll say, hey, your leaders need prayer right now. And when you allow the Lord to turn your heart towards them, offense will never enter. How many places have we seen people become offended at their pastors? They leave a church, and then they've still got something there, and at the next church they find offense, and the next church they find offense. But that is not who we are called to be as the sheep under our shepherds. And it's really an honor to get to pray for the people who dedicate their lives in such a way. We don't know, really. I don't even think they share a quarter of what they experience in like attacks by the enemy, but also by people. Other pastors too can say things. And what we're about to enter into in this age, like, I know the world looks crazy right now, but how many of you know we are the people who are the children of the Father? We live in the land of Goshen. Like,
yes,
Egypt can be affected
that.
All they want, but we are not going to be touched.
Yes.
And so when we live under that understanding, it is an honor to get to pray for our leaders.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
And
so
we learn
much
more about that all the time from
Thank
the
you so
Steve,
much,
so.
Michelle.
Sorry.
You did great. You know, people sometimes ask me, Pastor Steve, how can I pray for you? And this card will give you great prayers to pray. And I want you to know that we're not supposed to covet, but I covet your prayers. And I pray for you. I usually spend an hour a day praying in the Spirit for you. I pray for you every week. And I thank you for praying for me and praying for Jill. Amen. Stand up with us as we close in prayer today. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads if you wouldn't mind for a moment. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness toward us. We thank you, Lord, that you're always with us, that your Holy Spirit guides us and leads us this coming week. We thank you, Lord, for your angels that protect us everywhere that we go. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings, that blessings are overtaking us. Everywhere we go, Lord, we are expecting blessing this week. We're expecting to see good things happen, Lord, because we know that you are a good God, and we thank you for this. While you have your eyes closed and while you have your head bowed, I just want to do one last thing before we go home, and that is I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning. If you are not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, I want to pray for you. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say you know for sure, you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, I hope I go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I can't say that I know absolutely for certain. Can I tell you the good news is that you can know that for certain. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed is washed away. And you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain. And there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to, you know, to come out and stand in the front. But right where you are, while we have our head bowed and our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're going to pray, because I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, I'm going to ask you right now, just lift your hand up high. Just shoot up your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in that prayer this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Everyone who raised your hand, I want to ask you, please say this with me. Say this prayer. In Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if you will declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's do that today. Everybody say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to come to this earth to die on a cross for me and take my sin. Say, I believe, Jesus, you've been raised from the dead and you're alive. And I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. And I thank you, Lord, because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my Father. I'm your child. Heaven is my home. And thank you, Lord. My name is written down in your book of life. Amen and amen. You know, we had our grandson Brady stay over our house last night because his mom had to work last night. She's a nurse. And you know, whenever I get a chance to have Brady stay over, I always pray with him. When we put him to bed, I pray with him. I always tell him the story of Jesus. I always tell him about Jesus left heaven and came to the earth, went to a cross and took our sin, and you believe in him, you're going to be saved, you're going to go to heaven. I tell him the gospel story over and over and over again because I'm just instilling that into him. And I encourage you to do that with your kids, your grandkids. Amen. Teach our children. Amen. Well, God bless you. We love you. We're glad you're here today. I want to encourage you. Invite someone to come with you next Sunday. It's going to be the final part of our series, Beyond Blessed. It's going to be great. Tell your neighbor, see you next Sunday. See you next week.